again, just a brief thumbnail on, so a thumbnail, I just want to remind myself, a thumbnail on, are people who do not believe in creationism, in other words, in six-day literal everything from nothing, ex nihilo, you know, what it says in the Bible, are those people who do not believe that, are they apostates? If you do not believe in creation, not believing in creation, not a creationist, does that equal an apostate? Because if it does, there's another view that I'm going to try and do next Sunday night, which someone, I mean, these are all just one a thumbnail. Next Sunday night, they said, is there something between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 that you can put all of the dinosaurs and cavemen, which is called the gap theory? You know, the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. God created everything, and it was without form and void. So obviously there was this huge satanic battle, and all the first creation was all messed up by Satan, and God buried it, and all those people were crushed, and the animals and everything. There's this gap, and between 1:1 and 1:2 are, you know, billions of years and everything. Well, who believed in all that? A whole galaxy of Christians. The gap theory, Chalmers wrote about it. G.H. Pember wrote about it. Earth's Earliest Ages, it was called. The Scofield Bible, if you've ever heard of the Scofield Bible. I mean, there are so many people that believed in this gap theory, but were not apostates. And so that's next week. How did we get on that? What we're talking about is, what is an apostate? Okay, what is an apostate? And if you want to know what an apostate is, there's three passages of Scripture. I mean, there are many, but three key ones. 2 Peter 2, Jude, and 1 John is filled with references about apostates. So let's just go to 2 Peter 2 and define what an apostate is in our last 9 minutes. So this will truly be a thumbnail. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, there were false prophets among the teachers, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. Number one, the chief description of these apostates is they deny the Lord's redemptive work. They deny either his resurrection, his bodily resurrection, the substitutionary, the vicarious atonement. They just deny something to do with the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, and many will follow, verse 2, their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Not they'll hold an unusual view of some doctrine, which was what I would, you know, I mean, as much as I love Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis, creationism is not the litmus test for salvation. It's important. It does change your whole view of the Bible. But there are many people that have not truly thought about what they're saying, and they would never deny the Scriptures, but they are going along with a crowd. And if this wasn't a thumbnail, I would spend the whole night talking about how many ways all of us go along with the crowd. But look at what it says, what apostates are like. Verse 4, if God did not spare angels who sinned but cast them down into hell and put them in the chains of darkness, and he didn't spare the ancient world but saved Noah, verse 5, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, but he delivered righteous Lot. Righteous Lot? I'm glad that's in there. I didn't even think he was saved. You know, if you read Genesis, you wonder, the guy is incestuous, living in the midst of homosexuals with no compunction? Wow. But it says here, Lot was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds, which shows how we can have compassion on the homosexuals and be tormented and hurt by their sin, and it vexes our souls. But it doesn't mean that we vilify them. You notice that there's a compassion that we're supposed to have component, and this shows how it works. We can be righteous, we can dwell among them, and be tormented by their lawless deeds. But the Lord knows how to deliver us out of temptation. But now look at verse 12. He starts talking about the apostates again. But these are like natural brute beasts. They're made to be caught and destroyed. They speak evil of things they don't understand. They utterly perish in their own corruption. They carouse in the daytime. You think that people that don't believe in creationism are carousing in the daytime in gross immorality? No. They are spots and blemishes. While they feast with you, they have eyes full of adultery. They can't cease from sin. These are, verse 17, wells without water. That means that they've never been regenerated. They're clouds carried by the tempest. That means they have no biblical moorings. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Just because someone doesn't believe in a strict, literal, 168-hour creation week does not instantly put them into 2 Peter 2. It makes them not dealing correctly with the whole counsel of God. But it's the same true for people that believe that are amillennial. I mean, 28% of the Bible is about the millennium. Does that mean that they are apostates just because, you know, they don't believe the full counsel of God? And if you go to Jude, it's the same thing. If you go after 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude describes them again. Woe to them, verse 11, they've gone in the way of Cain, they've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. These are all biographical insights. Cain denied the blood, bloody sacrifice of a lamb. He wanted to offer, you know, garden produce. He didn't want the kind of like liberalism today, which is apostate, that doesn't want the blood of Christ. Don't talk about it. It's you know, Albert Schweitzer-esque, you know. We don't want to talk about that. It's messy. They've run greedily in the area of Balaam. Remember, Balaam wanted to die the death of the righteous. He didn't want to live the life of the righteous, kind of like those, I can sin all I want, that side of apostasy. There's no Holy Spirit conviction of sin. They perished in the rebellion of Korah. They're rebels. Same wording as 2 Peter, verse 12. They're spots in your love feasts. They without fear serve only themselves. They're self-centered. They're clouds without water. They do not have that life-giving water. The Holy Spirit is not within them. They're carried about by the winds. They have no doctrinal mooring. They're late autumn trees without fruit, so there's no fruit of salvation in their lives. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming up. I mean, this is what an apostate is. They are wandering stars. I love that. Wandering stars. What is wandering stars? The Greek word is very interesting. Planes. You all know. Planes. We have an English word, planets, from that. To the ancients, there were two things. They were the dots in the skies that never moved. I mean, they stayed in the same place, even though as the season, they stayed together and moved, you know, the constellations. So those were stars. And then there were planes, the planets, that moved among the stars and were not fixed. They were not moored. And that planes, planao, planeo, that whole word is what he's talking about, wandering stars. They're not fixed to doctrine of Christ or anything else. To whom is reserved? Those are the apostates, the ones who are not fixed on doctrine. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? And on it goes. So the thumbnail. I do not see described in the scriptures under apostasy someone who has a different view on eschatology, which means their view of pre, mid, post, or non, whatever, you know, all the arguments, that does not make them apostate. Nor does someone who thinks that God created, but they kind of add, like the Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 gap people, or those that posture that God did it over a long time. Just that is not biblically defined as an apostate. Now you say, oh, but what about Revelation or Romans 5, where it says, you know, sin entered the world through Adam? Yeah, that is a really big problem. And what about Jesus? When Jesus talked about the first humans, he didn't talk about, you know, the group that he had to drown and bury between verses 1 and 2. He said the first human was Adam. When Jesus described creation, he described it the way it's written in the Bible. So I don't know how anybody cannot believe in biblical creationism, but I do know a lot of dear brothers in Christ who do not believe in six-day biblical creationism. But it would be very hard for them to be apostates by the definition of the Bible. Maybe by the definition of people that are really strong creationists, but not by the definition of Peter and Paul and Jude and Jesus. They did not go that far, so I have trouble going that far.